Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Morning, 720 WGN. It is the Steve Cochran Show. Top 6 at 6 coming up, where we will touch on Hurricane Maria and Dancing with the Stars.
Really?
In that order. Really? But Blackhawks preseason game tonight.
We have Blackhawks. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
We have Blackhawks hockey tonight.
Wow, that's awesome.
And bring it on, the Hawks and Columbus. First of 6 preseason games. And a lot of the guys you'll see or hear about tonight won't necessarily be on the roster on opening night against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Some of them will be in Rockford.
Yeah.
But it's a good chance to see what these guys can do. A lot of young talent on this team. So, and it's always good to have hockey back.
You betcha. I know you probably talked about this yesterday. I was at the scrimmage in the Blackhawks fantasy camp on Saturday. That was so much fun. It was very cool watching them play against each other.
Did you lace up the skates?
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
Run
out there.
Yeah, I polished the blades.
Mm-hmm.
Put the cold steel on ice.
Put the pads on.
Yeah, I did. No, I didn't. But it was fun
to watch. No, it was a great weekend. Great weekend.
Yeah, it was indeed. So we'll see. But overwhelmingly, though, everybody's very psyched to have, well, most of the ladies happy to have Patrick Sharp back on the ice.
Yeah. Well, I think people are happy to see Patrick Sharp back because of what he potentially could bring to this team.
Yep,
now,
absolutely.
It's got nothing to do with why you're happy to have him back.
Well,
on
no, because I'm happy to have the Stanley Cup hopefully back in
that's
Chicago
a good way to put it.
Next
yes.
year.
Excellent.
What, is that your nice way of saying Patrick is man candy? Is that what you're saying?
I would say so. Yeah. I don't think I'd be alone in that. What do you think, Mary?
I'm agreeing.
See?
Mm-hmm. I'm there.
Come on, guys, even think that, too. There's a lot of man crushes going on Patrick Sharp.
Yeah. Man candy.
I like his commercial, too.
Ice candy, we should call him.
His commercial's nice. He sounds very sexy on it.
What will we see What will we see this year that will surprise us?
What will we see this year that will surprise us?
Mm-hmm.
That's a great question. Nice going.
Yeah, thank you.
That's why it's going to surprise us. No, I think that this is going to be something of a bounce back. I mean, look, they won 50 games last year,
yes.
So it's not like they have this huge mountain to climb, but they've got a lot of new guys they're going to be integrating, and they've obviously lost some guys who were great performers for them over the years, Nicklas Hjalmarsson and the bread man is off to Columbus, maybe they'll see him tonight. So, you know, it's going to be an adjustment. And Marian Hossa, of course, is out. So this is going to be a little bit of a educational process, I think, for the fans, too, to get to know some of these guys and see who can come in and contribute and help get them off to the right kind of start.
What's your prediction? I think we're going to win every game except one.
Which is the one they're going to lose?
I don't want to say that.
Yeah.
My first thought was the Blues, but then I thought maybe Detroit.
I'll
go with the Blues.
What about Nashville?
Nah, I'm not worried about Nashville.
Not worried about
Nashville.
Team that beat them in the playoffs?
That was their
swan song. Swept them?
That was their swan song.
Okay.
They're
good.
Done.
I hope you're right.
Blackhawks are back. All right, and that is tonight on 720 WGN.
5:30 for the pregame of Judd.
Excellent. Hockey's back, yes. Even though it's going to be 80 degrees today for the high.
That's what's great about it.
Isn't that great?
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60 Minute Man.
We start with weather. Hurricane Maria downgraded to a Category 4 briefly this morning, but it's now a Category 5 again, about to slam into Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico has not had a Category 5 storm hit land since 1932, I believe. And a Cat 5 storm is 155-mile-an-hour winds or higher, sustained for hours and hours and hours. It's not good. Once it hits land, the shear will tear the hurricane up to some degree and drop it. But even a hurricane Category 4 with winds of 150 miles an hour and a hurricane category 3 of, what is it, 125 or more?
125, yep.
Hurricane Maria is doing a lot of damage already and will continue to do even more. The people of Puerto Rico, you're talking about 3.5 million people. Mm-hmm. You're talking about a hurricane basically coming over all of Chicago and the surrounding counties, and 150-mile-an-hour plus winds for hours and hours and hours. Imagine that, and then try to forget it. The scary part is it will likely also hit the Virgin Islands. Now, the piers, the current storm track, it'll be more of a brush by, but a lot of the Virgin Islands right now are rubble. And when you have stuff on the ground that can turn into missiles flying around, parts of homes and cars and things like that, that's a concern as well. But the Puerto Rican people and all of the folks on Puerto Rico, those are the that's the concern right now.
They were comparing Maria early on to the strength of Hurricane Andrew that hit in 92.
Yeah, which devastated South Florida. Mm-hmm.
I know the cruise lines are adjusting their routes to try to avoid the storm.
Yeah, they've gone to the Sea of Japan now. It's safer there.
Probably. But what happens to a cruise ship if they get caught in one of these? Does it ever happen?
Well, you would think the radar is so strong. There's got to be, like, some early warning system, right? If it's a Cat 1 and it's coming your way, the cruise ship people must go, get out. Just get out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There has to be some provision for that. You can't roll the dice on it, right?
Imagine it's like an airliner. You know, the airliner gets advance notice and they just go around it or go away from it. It
takes a little longer, though, to turn the boat around, right?
Yeah, especially some of those giant boats that are as big as cities. I mean, I can't imagine, you know, being on one of those when something like this hits.
There's a small island being hit by this storm right now. I can't even think of the name of the island, but there's
Dominica.
Dominica.
Dominica, it is? Dominica. 75,000 people on the entire island.
Right.
Did you see the prime minister there, the guy in charge, was Facebooking as it hit? And at one point, he was doing something Facebook. He wasn't doing the video, but he was texting and kind of live blogging. He says, well, there goes my roof. My roof is gone. I don't know what to do now. And that was the last they heard from him until this morning. Very dramatic stuff.
Has he reappeared?
He has. And he says he told Al Jazeera this morning that there's complete devastation on his island after the...
Well, this is an island that was supposedly torn up by a tropical storm, which is 75-mile-an-hour winds. Or up to 75-mile-an-hour winds. So it's just incredible how bad this hurricane season has been. And we're, what, 3-4 weeks in?
Yeah, just 3 weeks in. 4 weeks in, actually, yeah.
Next. Well, it's another bad day to be Paul Manafort. Sure, the Elvis impersonation business is good. But Paul Manafort apparently was wiretapped before he ever got affiliated with the Trump campaign and after going through early 2017. Now, this creates all sorts of questions that we'll need answers. But you may remember that Manafort's home was raided, or as we call it, Blagojeviched.
Yes.
Earlier this year. And the prosecutors at the time told Manafort's attorney, expect your client to be indicted.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that is should be of great concern to Trump and his attorneys, because we know Trump remained in contact with Manafort through early this year. So was Trump heard on a wiretap phone call to Paul Manafort saying something that could be problematic for him?
Right.
Or possibly many things. Now, before you and the rest of the internet leap to Trump was right, Obama did wiretap him. No, the Justice Department said that never happened. That's the Jeff Sessions run Justice Department. Comey, when he was running the FBI, said that never happened. So let's say you have no belief in Comey and you believe he's willing to commit all sorts of crimes when he testifies to Congress, even though we know that he didn't. Do you not believe Jeff Sessions? Do you not believe the Justice Department? The Trump tweet is a separate issue. Paul Manafort owned an apartment in Trump Tower. The Breitbart story that Trump reacted to may well have been about this.
Yeah. You can
but
see
it had nothing to do with Trump being wiretapped.
Right. But you could see the confusion, though. There's so much going on. There's so much chaos.
No, I can see the confusion. Here's the thing, and this is important, I think. You can see the confusion if you're Donald Trump and you assume everything's about you.
Yeah, that's true.
And you assume it must be an attack on you. He doesn't own every inch of the Trump Tower. Matter of fact, he doesn't own a lot of things. But the idea that the president of the United States was wiretapped by a previous president and he would jump out based on a Breitbart story and say something, which we now know isn't true, regardless of this story, that's what makes him a bad president, amongst the other things on the list.
Couple other things, yeah.
Much more with this later, and we'll get a prosecutor's view on this from the past experience that Pat Brady had in that department. President Trump did fine at the UN yesterday, and this is the world we live in, where you have to go, here's a cookie, nice job, good speech. He will do a bigger one today when he speaks to the United Nations assembled partners. We pledge to be partners in your work. Those are Trump's words as he turned on the alleged diplomatic charm at the UN yesterday. He also nice tweeted.
I love that term,
yeah,
by the way.
Not bad tweeted. He nice tweeted.
Nice tweeted.
And then there's this. 5 Wheaton College football players face felony charges after being accused of a 2016 hazing incident. A freshman teammate was restrained with duct tape, beaten, and left half naked with 2 torn shoulders on a baseball field at Wheaton College. These are the good kids.
Mm-hmm.
In quotes, the school seems to have reacted appropriately to this, by all accounts.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
It's just, you're right. I mean, that was the first thing that struck me when I saw it was
right.
Wheaton College.
Yeah, it's a dry campus. It's supposed to be.
The good kids. Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's a character thing, more often than not, when kids get into trouble, and this is certainly one of those. Next. Tollway worker was struck and killed by a truck in Alsip, which may otherwise be a story you may miss. It's just, look, the construction zones that exist in this town all year long, but certainly in the summertime, you don't get a pass because you're running late for a meeting, or you're running late for work, or you're running late to get home. Mm-hmm. Slow down.
Right.
Just and slow down.
There's speed cameras there for a reason, and they are enforced.
Yeah, and the laws are probably, the laws in the state are very stiff for somebody who does this, but they probably should be even harsher.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then there's this. We have rankings for last night's Dancing with the Stars dancers. And I didn't know this Victoria Arland story. That's pretty crazy. She was...
the swimmer.
Yeah, she was a swimmer who was paralyzed, and she was a...
For 10 years.
Yeah, in the Olympics, in the Paralympic Games. She was paralyzed for 10 years. She got really sick when she was 10 or 11 years old. And 10 years later, she's in the Paralympics. But then, 3 or 4 years ago, she started to come out of it. She's walking now. And dancing.
But she can't feel her legs.
And
she's
dancing.
That's what's amazing. That she
what's amazing is all of it.
Yeah, I mean, the whole story. And she's so bubbly and cute. I mean, she just is so happy.
She is
so
a
emotional.
Walk-in miracle. I don't understand the medical side of this. I don't know how paralysis goes away.
Very strange.
But
the whole
hopefully
thing.
It provides hope to others, right?
Yeah, yeah. She's going to be the inspirational one. There's always an inspirational one.
Derek Fisher did a nice job. He was ranked 4th last night. By the way, where are these rankings come from? Dance Magazine? Where are they from again?
the
New York Times.
The judges.
The New York Times has actually done this. Vanessa Lachey, Nick Lachey, is a hot model
wife.
Yeah,
she did good. But I think I already have my predictions.
All right, I'm going to ask about those in just a second.
Yeah. And then we're going to ask you to identify who the person is.
I had to write them down. I don't even know who they are.
Frankie Muniz was a little farther down the list, as was Debbie Gibson. And then the shark, Barbara Corcoran, really seems like she wants to sleep with her partner immediately and not wait.
He was all over him.
Yeah.
Poor Keo.
Did you watch that? You sound like you watched a lot of this, Steve.
I probably saw an hour.
Yeah.
Did you?
An hour of the two.
You
yeah.
missed the American Ninja Warrior
right.
final.
You're
I can't believe it.
Was that last night?
It was last night.
You were watching it?
Nobody finished, by the way.
There is so much bad TV. It's hard to keep up with
right?
all
right?
Are you kidding? American Ninja Warrior is awesome.
Oh.
You're right.
It's good. It's just the same.
America Ninja Warriors.
America Ninja Warriors. We love that guy. We got to get him back on.
Yeah, Matt Eisman.
Yeah, he's been on before. Mm-hmm. All right, so who are you picking, Mayor?
I am going with one of the two, either the violinist, Lindsey Stirling, or Jordan Fisher, the singer, the one who was in Hamilton. He's super good.
Oh, that kid's good.
He is super good.
Yeah, that kid's good. That's my assessment. Hey, that kid's good.
He's good.
Either one of those two.
We're doing predictions.
Did you see the show?
No.
Oh, okay.
But I'll pick Terrell Owens. Didn't see 1 second of it.
Ripped off last night. Ripped
off.
Yeah,
well, he was the first guy.
He was the first guy to go. He did fantastic. They gave him a 15.
Usually there's a celebrity you can rally around a little bit. I can't find one out of this group that I would like.
Nick Lachey and Vanessa Lachey, they seem like nice people.
They're annoying.
There's too much of him. He's too, I hate
I know Debbie Gibson a little bit. You want to refer her?
I like
she's
her.
She's got limes. She has limes.
Oh, like don't root for her then.
She's in the, yeah. She's an 80s.
I'm just Victoria saying everybody Arlen? Has a problem.
She's an 80s pop icon. I should probably root for Debbie Gibson.
Come, she's your people.
All right, I'll root for her.
So, but don't root for the shark. She'll sleep with you. Be careful.
Thanks.
Top six brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men, and we're back after this.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
Allstate Kid of the Week time. Good starts young, and Allstate knows that. So do you, and so do I. Make the world a better place through service. The spirit of Allstate's Good Starts Young initiative. Help us find great kids to talk about. Every Tuesday morning with the Kid of the Week from Allstate sponsors. The Kid of the Week, you know, the Allstate folks that do that also want us to give prizes away. And they said, why don't you give them a little something from Amazon? Give them a little pizza. Lou Malnati's Pizza, Amazon gift card as well. Go to the winners. WGNradio.com/contest to submit an entry for a kid between 9 and 18 that you think ought to be Kid of the Week. And let's meet one right now. Radka Pierdenok is on the phone. Good morning, Radka. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I am fine. Did I pronounce your name okay?
It's Radka Privil Pierdenok. Sorry.
There's not a chance I'm going to get that right, is there?
No, it's okay. It always happens.
Well, I apologize. You attend Riverside Brookfield High School?
And yes.
A junior or a senior?
I'm a senior this year.
Do you know what you're going to do next year?
No, I'm applying to a bunch of colleges right now.
What do you think you want to do?
I have no idea.
Any interests that you'd like to study? Because, you know, we're all geniuses here. We'd be happy to steer you in the right direction.
I don't know. I might, like, either want to be a doctor, a broadcaster, like, a whole bunch, a lawyer. I have no idea.
Well, go with the doctor.
I love her curiosity about things, so, right? Wants a little bit of everything. Here's what we know about you, and you can fill in the blanks. You did a gold project for Girl Scouts. Is that like an Eagle Scout thing for the boys?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I worked all summer at school transforming a messy, ignored space into a library for preschool through first grade students, cleaned out the area, painted the walls, drew murals with the help of her family, got book donations. You can't get most kids to clean their room, and you cleaned a library. Nicely done by you.
Thanks.
How big a mess was it?
It was just, like, not really organized. So I had to organize all the books. But, like, it was kind of clean.
Are you an organized person in general?
A little bit. So it was kind of hard because I had to organize everything. And, like, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not the biggest organized person, but I try to stay organized.
If I talk to your family, would your family say she won't clean her room, but she'll clean this?
Yeah.
Well, okay. All right. Well, that's honest of you. And the accomplishment during the first week of school was wrapped up by you reading to a bunch of preschoolers.
Yeah.
Well, that's fun.
It was so fun. It was so nice to see their faces.
Yeah, these
they
little
just wanted to have they just wanted to have like a conversation with me. So it was just so cute. They were so cute.
No doubt about it. You also organized a project for younger scouts to do what?
They helped me design these book bags. So somebody donated from my community, like, these canvas bags. So then I had the help of these young Girl Scouts to decorate the bags. That way they could, the kids could, like, take home the books.
Well, that's very cool. So you gave up a good chunk of your summer here to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Right, say hi to our friend, Radka.
Hi, Radka. Radka, how excited were the kids? Because I know nowadays we read on our Kindles and your iPads. And how excited were the kids to actually go and read the books at the library?
They were so excited. And the time I went there, the music teacher, she said, like, how she saw a kid just, like, reading a book there for hours after school. And
that's cool.
Like, made my heart. Yeah, it was so nice because they didn't have that before. So I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, it's just nice that it's used.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, and it's also nice that you helped create the opportunity. That makes you feel good, though, doesn't it? Because, you know, you think these kids are all going digital, and that's the world we live in. But the idea to hold a book in your hands and to be able to flip the pages and stuff, I think kids love that.
Yeah.
You know,
so nice.
Rodka, it is Rodka, right?
Yeah.
Oh, getting closer, at least. Rodka, my little granddaughter, Abigail Grace, who's 20 months old, she loves reading books. She's got over 9 million books now and loves to flip through them.
That's good. I think every kid should like have the opportunity to have like a book and like flip through the pages.
Totally agree. Yeah. Dave, you have a follow up?
Yes, Rodka, what's your favorite book? Best book you ever read?
That's a good question.
I don't know. There's so many good ones.
That's a good question.
I really don't know. That's not really a fair question.
Yeah. You're probably not the Captain Underpants type. That was more my son. Well, listen, I'm proud of you, and I know your family is as well, and everybody at Riverside Brookfield High School, and all the little squirts that you help make interested in reading. That's a great story. So thanks for doing it. Thanks for being the Kid of the Week.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I appreciate you getting up a little bit early anyway. Hold on. Let's see here. We have, as I mentioned, the Lou Malnati's Pizza,
and
the Amazon gift card, and an opportunity for you to nominate your own Kid of the Week. Doesn't have to even be somebody you know. Maybe somebody you heard about. Maybe somebody you want us to know about. Maybe somebody else named Rodka.
She's a young entrepreneur. Think about it. She basically opened a business.
Opened a library.
At 16.
Right, right, right. Profit margin, not great, okay. But yeah, she opened it up.
How great is that?
She could have shook down the preschoolers, but that would have been wrong. Right. Mary's back with your traffic trouble spots and some sad news this morning about a friend of the program. We'll tell you about that coming up in a second. Young Ross Cochran, as I always called him, texted me late last night. I didn't see it till this morning that we lost a friend of the program last Friday in a small story that deserves more publicity because it's a life that needs to be remembered and saluted. Sergeant Mark Evans, the Pizza for Patriots guy, passed away last Friday of, quote, natural causes at age 58. I really hate that term when somebody is young. And by the way, 58 is young. But God bless his family and everybody involved with that organization, all the miraculous work they've done. The cause will go on. More on that in a second. Funeral services are scheduled for tomorrow, or I should say Thursday, in Arlington Heights and visitation in Elk Grove Village. He served in the 217th International Guard for 26 years as a logistics master sergeant and founded Pizza for Patriots. Pizzas for Patriots in June of 2008. You've seen it on Fox, you've seen it on NBC, you've seen it at CBS. If ESPN, anybody that's covered football has covered what Mark Evans does. And the Super Bowl was the original big event because he's men and women serving overseas, get a taste of home. He wrote a letter to David Petraeus, who was commanding the forces in Afghanistan at that point, and got it started. And the military signed on immediately. The Defense Department signed on, loaded planes with pizza, and flew it over to our guys, men and women.
Generous, generous man.
Evans recalled his son telling the family he was going to, this is his son Kent Evans, who suggested sending pizzas to troops serving in Iraq and Afghanistan. I recall his son telling the family he's going to email then Commanding General David Petraeus about this mission idea. And Evans recalled, Mark Evans, and he told this story on the air here as well. He said, well, go ahead. He said he never expected a response. The next morning, Kent received a reply from Petraeus staffers saying the mission was a go, which is, that's right out of the military handbook, right? You make your request. We're a go for pizza.
Yeah,
pizza mission go. So it was a good news story right from the beginning. A lot of positives coming out in the story that was published in journal-topics.com. I don't even know what this is. I apologize for not knowing what it is, but it's a is it online news source, I assume?
Yeah.
But anyway, 88,000 pounds of pizza delivered because of Mark.
And we talked to some of the recipients, too.
Oh, yeah.
Who said, yeah, you know what? That made their day, being remembered and getting a pizza.
Yeah, and he created a logo for it, and it turned out to be a very big deal. And he was so passionate about it. And he would always do this. When he'd come in, he couldn't help himself. He'd come in. He'd talk about the organization, then he'd leave, and then he'd call you four times in the next 2 days. And every call would be, hey, we got this coming up if you want to get involved, but I don't want to bother you. Hey, I don't want to bother you, yeah. but I'm really excited about this because he was always fired up about it.
Mm-hmm.
So 58, man.
Nuts.
It's too young.
Terrible.
Way
ridiculous.
Young.
So good man. Thank you for your service, your dedication, and one of the great post-service careers with Pizzas for Patriots. But again, the organization would like you and I and everybody else to know it will continue.
Good.
That's Pizzas
good.
With an S, the number four, Patriots with an S, .com. It is 6:57. We'll take a break, come back, and more in a moment on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
The best of the biz, she is Kim Potts, TV screener who working for Yahoo.com. You just have to ask and then listen, because she's in the know, and she knows the shows that will stay or go. I'm just going to hear what she has to say. There ain't no better reason this entire TV season to listen to Kim Potts. Today.
I believe the 2014 Guest of the Year, wasn't she?
Kim Potts?
Yes. Isn't that right? Kim Potts joins us. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning, Steve.
Nice to talk to you again. How are you?
You too. I'm good. How about you guys? How has it been there in Chicago?
We're all thrilled and delighted. I mean, you know, we're all delightful. The show is a smash hit. It's just tough being us. The paparazzi is the biggest problem, just trying to get to and from work. You know the drill. I mean, come on, please.
It's tough, but you guys manage it. I know you do.
Somehow we struggle through. Everyone on the staff gets one show they can ask Kim about. One show. And you know how this works, texters, 312-981-7200. You can text in your TV questions. Let's start with last night's Dancing with the Stars. Maybe the most unknown cast we've ever seen, but a couple of compelling stories. This thing is such a fixture in American life now that I'm sure it'll get numbers anyway, won't it?
It absolutely will. There are people who I think love tuning in to find maybe an old star that they wondered, you know, where have they been? I think people were probably very surprised to find Malcolm. Where did Malcolm in the Middle go? And we know where he is now.
He's no longer in the middle. He's on this.
He's on this.
I know the Megyn Kelly thing is coming up. If this fails like the Sunday night thing failed, will she be on the next season of Dancing with the Stars?
I think she may be lucky to be on the next season if it fails, as many are predicting that it will. There was a story yesterday that they were having trouble even getting audience members to kind of commit to being there. I think they've overestimated what she can maybe do there. I think just watching her, there's kind of an awkwardness that, you know, there's very much a morning TV personality, the Matt Lauers, the Savannah Guthries, who have that. I just don't feel that from her. And I think it's going to be hard for audiences to connect with her.
This has the potential to be one of the biggest overspends in a time where networks can't do that anymore. So there's a lot of jobs on the line for this. So, and she, you know, by all accounts, I don't know her at all, but by all accounts, she's a decent person, nice person. So I hope they figure it out. But it's going to be the third hour of the Today Show. Is that right?
That's right. She's taking over the 9 o'clock hour, which Al Roker and kind of a revolving door of co-hosts and celebrity guest co-hosts have been doing. Which, again, I think maybe could potentially be tough because people love Al Roker, of course, and they are used to him being in that hour.
Now we're over him. Get out, Al. It's over.
I think it's going to be a tough time for them. I think it also really depends on how long NBC is willing to stick with it and see if, you know, really give her a chance to catch on or not.
The other big TV events, we jump around here a little bit, but Curb Your Enthusiasm is back when?
Oh, October, whatever that first Sunday in October is. And it's going to be, it is Larry at his most uncensored, embracing his full political incorrectness. I think it has the potential to be the best season ever.
And the most uncomfortable. By the way, it's Sunday night, October 1st.
Yes.
Kevin Can Wait bringing Leah Remini back. I don't know how this works. I mean, you had 8 or 9 years of Kevin James. He's a, you know, he's a pal of the show. He's a good dude.
It's a very funny show,
and
too.
And we like Leah. Leah's been on talking about her, you know, her Scientology stuff. This Kevin Can Wait show killed off his wife, and now Leah Remini's on, but they're not a couple. Is that right?
They're not a couple. They had introduced them last season. She was his old cop partner. And so in the new season, his wife has died. I don't think that we're going to necessarily know what happened. We just know that his wife has died. A year has passed. And Leah Remini's character is back on the show as someone who runs a private securities company. And with his wife gone, he needs a job. So he kind of essentially goes back to being her partner again. They work together again.
Leah Remini, I've seen, I really do like this show. Leah Remini, she fell victim, I think, to the Botox collagen. You know, she's a very pretty woman.
Oh, she had a bunch of work done?
Oh, my gosh.
As much as I've had.
When she came back, when they introduced her, you know, as the old part, as the old partner, I almost went, is that Leah Remini?
Wow.
Didn't you think that, Kim?
I do. I think that so often with, I'm constantly shocked when actresses appear on screen and you haven't seen them for a while, and a lot of them have done that, and it's so jarring because they often look like completely different human beings.
Yeah, she should go to Courtney Cox's doctor because Courtney Cox fixed her face. Courtney Cox, one of the most beautiful women in TV history, went and had her face redone, had her lips put on the side of her head, and her, you know, and her hair removed and various other things. You don't remember that part, Dave?
That part escaped me.
And then she went back and she found some guy to fix it. Now she looks terrific again.
Mm-hmm. Just, she does.
You know, it's so much easier for men.
It
Dave,
is.
Dave, it's so much easier for men. You know, Dave, we just get old. We just get old. That's it.
Yeah. We age gracefully.
Mm-hmm. Well, in my case, not so much.
Felix.
Yeah. That's it. This Is Us. Everybody's favorite show. Everybody's favorite cry of the week. When is it, Beck?
It is. Oh, Steve, I'm so sorry. I'm missing the dates today. You can go to yahootv.com and look up the date. Yes, it is back soon, though, and going to be another great second season. I don't think we're going to find out the complete story of how the father died, but we're definitely going to get a lot more clues to it.
How long can they stretch that out?
Yeah, for crying out loud.
You know, I don't even know that it's the intention to stretch it out at this point in terms of spoiler. I think they're just kind of trying to unfold the story in an interesting way, which is something we're seeing on the new season of Ray Donovan. But I think that it'll be satisfying the way that they do. I feel like they've earned our trust with that first season. So I'm ready to jump in and just see where they take us. A lot more focus on Sterling K. Brown's character this season, which is great.
You mentioned Ray Donovan. His wife dies, and they go backwards now for a while?
Yes, they introduced in the season premiere that his wife had died, which was a big shock. And now they're kind of unfolding the whole story of how that happened, what happened throughout the season. And it's really made, I think it's the best show on TV right now.
It's a tremendous show. I don't have this as a fact, but I believe she may have been involved in some sort of accident with a grain elevator and Kevin James' TV wife.
With Botox, right? Yeah.
Crossover.
The worst kind. Scandal and Grey's Anatomy going away this year?
I don't know that Grey's Anatomy is.
Really?
Scandal for sure is. They've announced it's the final season that starts October 5th. Grey's Anatomy, believe it or not, it's still going strong. Season 14 this year, they'll hit their 300th episode. The executive producer, Debbie Allen, has said that they're going for a little bit of a lighter tone, kind of back to where they were in the beginning. People still love it. So, you know, I guess if the fans or in the audience is still there, we'll see a season 15.
And Young Sheldon, is this got a chance to be a hit? This feels like a bad idea to me.
You know what? It's surprisingly very, very charming, at least as far as the pilot goes. We haven't really seen more beyond that. But it stars Ian Armitage, who's the young kid from, people might remember from Big Little Lies. He played Shailene Woodley's son, was kind of a scene stealer, I thought, in that. It's very charming. It's not a straight comedy the way The Big Bang Theory is. It's a lot more the unfolding the backstory of how Sheldon became Sheldon. When we meet him, he's a 9-year-old who just has skipped 4 grades to enter high school.
Me too.
So an interesting setup there. But it had a lot of heart, a lot of sweetness. We explore his relationship with his father, which we, of course, don't see on The Big Bang Theory because his father has passed. But, no, it's worth checking out for sure and kind of seeing where they can go with it.
Blackish moving to Tuesday night. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, and Blackish moving to I was going to say, so if you love Blackish Tuesday night, and then the Ken Burns Vietnam War series documentary wraps up, I think, tomorrow night.
It's awesome. I saw the first part. It's
right.
Fantastic.
So that should be on demand any minute now. All right, Kim, listen, hang on, because here come the questions. The listeners' questions, the staff questions, all of that when we come back. First, Mary with the traffic on 720 WGN. And Kim Potts, the TV gal, joins us again from Yahoo. Yahoo! Remember when that was the jingle?
The good old just days. Like that.
This Is Us premieres next Tuesday at 8 o'clock Chicago time. That's the 26th. All right, listener texters here. 815, New Girl on Fox. What's the story? Staying, going, what do we know?
It is back. I think this will be the last season, though.
Okay. The Mist. I don't know this show. It's a 773 texter. Is The Mist finished?
I believe The Mist is finished.
Well, that's good, because The Mist and Drizzle always delay me. the new Star Trek shows, streaming, or will they be on TV?
A little bit of both. They're introducing the first two episodes on CBS before moving the whole show to the streaming CBS All Access app. So you can definitely jump in, get a taste, see if you like it for the first couple of episodes before you will have to commit to CBS All Access.
Speaking of CBS, Life in Pieces, and a texter asked about this as well in the 331. Really funny show. And we promoted the heck out of it for CBS.
Yeah,
great cast. Really great cast. And really well written. Was it three or four stories in each 30-minute episode? And I don't feel like it's ever really caught on. Is it coming back?
It's absolutely coming back. I think you're right. It's one of those kind of under-the-radar shows. But if you have checked it out, I think you love it right away. The concept is so great that, as you said, they tell four stories every episode. Sometimes you want them to last a little longer, but it's great. You're always in and out, and it's kind of, because they're so short, it's the meatiest part of the story. All the jokes are there. There's no kind of waste in the storytelling, and the cast is incredible. The characters are very funny. I think it's a great show, and I think more people will kind of slowly catch on to it by word of mouth. Definitely an under-the-radar hit for them.
815 texter, what's the story with the trouble on American Idol, and do they know how to fix it?
Oh, boy. I don't think they do. I think their solution is to throw a lot of money to get names like Katy Perry and to get Ryan Seacrest back. But, you know, it's not like there has been a void of that kind of show on. The Voice is still on. It's going strong. Lots of other talent search kind of shows, America's Got Talent, et cetera.
Yeah, just because you were first doesn't mean you get to stay, right?
Exactly. And they went away because they had lost, you know, dramatic numbers of audience. So I don't think people have been missing it enough yet. Maybe 10 years from now, we might be willing to jump back into American Idol. But I think they're going to have a hard time getting the viewers back and getting viewers to commit to multiple nights of another show.
Supposedly, and I think this is true, but, you know, I don't really feel the need to do facts here. $25 million is Katy Perry's judge's payday, and she told people that. And then that got out, and that kept them from hiring other judges because they all wanted $25 million.
Of course, and then they had to spend quite a bit to get Ryan Seacrest back, which, honestly, I think that's the money best spent at this point because he really is the thing that I think kept the show running as long as it did. I think that job is a lot tougher than it looks. But, I don't know. It's really hard to believe that money is going to pay off, especially the Katy Perry money. It doesn't seem, again, like a show that people have been waiting to come back after such a short time away, and again, with no void of that kind of show still on the air.
It's essentially a three-month commitment for $25 million. Anybody want a piece of that action?
Me.
Yes, anybody?
Me. Oh, yeah.
All right, around the horn, Andrea.
All right, Will and Grace.
Oh, Will and Grace. I'm excited to see it back.
Same
I
here.
Love those
Me
characters.
Too. Me too.
I don't care what they do. I don't care if it's really just kind of replaying a lot of the episodes from the first go-around. They're great characters. I especially am excited to see Jack and Karen. Because
Same here.
Me,
Will and Grace, Will and Grace are the extras.
Yep, absolutely.
Jack and Karen are the people you want to see.
The little snippet they did
exactly.
before the election was, or around the election, was fantastic. So they still have it, right, Kim?
They absolutely still have it. And a fun part of that is that Karen apparently is a good friend of Donald Trump. So I think that just
that's tremendous.
Right?
Excellent.
Of course,
right?
That's perfect. Yeah. Dave,
billions. I'm the lone wolf on this show who, Mary Sandberg Boyle, also Comcast Sportsnet, likes that show. But I thought season two was a huge upgrade over season one. Is it coming back?
It absolutely is, and I absolutely agree with you. Season two was, I wish that had been the first season because I think it would have caught on a lot more. But hopefully people, you know, did hear about it if they hadn't checked it out yet. Certainly this is a good time to be catching up on it, but it absolutely will be back. They haven't scheduled when, but sometime in 2018. I'm guessing probably the first quarter of 2018.
Right. Can you promise me there'll be no more middle-aged S&M that we have to watch?
I don't think so.
Okay, good.
I think that's going to be a possibility always on that show.
I'd love to listen. That's
you can always fast forward through that part.
Not
Steve.
Fast enough. Mary Vandeveld, one question.
A couple new shows I was looking at. Either one of them worthwhile, The Gift or 10 Days in the Valley with Kira Sedgwick?
10 Days in the Valley is definitely worth checking out. It's such a great concept that she's, and it's kind of a show within a show. Her character is a TV writer who one night is working on the show that she produces and goes into her house to find out that her child has been kidnapped. The door was locked, and everything was secure, but somehow the child was kidnapped. So it's it both explores the kidnapping and her world within Hollywood. So kind of a thriller, but a little inside baseball, too. Kira Sedgwick is always so great, so I think it's kind of exciting to have her back in prime time on a full-time show.
Producer's booth, anything from you guys? Anything at all, quickly?
Is there just one show that you would recommend out there that you haven't mentioned yet that people should check out?
Ooh, good question. Well, Stranger Things is coming back for season two on October 27th, and a lot of new cast and some exciting things coming up there. So if you missed out somehow on season one, this is a great time to catch up with that and be ready for season two. You know, I'm kind of excited about the Law and Order True Crime Menendez murders. It's Dick Wolf's yet another Law and Order spinoff, this one on true crime, and he plans to do future seasons examining kind of what they did last year with the OJ trial on FX. But this one starts September 26th. They unfold the whole Menendez trial from 1989, which a lot of us remember and probably remember differently than actually happened because there have been so many TV movies about it already. But they really deep dive into it this time, and they are going to reveal a lot of things that I think a lot of us didn't know.
And what about my idea for Chicago parking? Remember Chicago Fire, Chicago Med, and this would just be parking cops putting tickets
There's
on
There's an opening. They have to have another spinoff soon, right?
Yeah. Chicago.
You only have an hour, though. That could go on and on and on and on.
Yeah. Well, the pilot episode's riveting because it's a guy claiming, I just went inside for a minute, and then they get into this big argument. Don't you have something better to do with your time? And then the cop has to arrest him and call for backup. I'm telling you, it's riveting. I'll rewrite it. It's Kim Potts, the best in the business. And she is on Yahoo. And where will we follow you on social media?
At TV Screener.
At TV Screener, people. Thank you, Kim.
Thank you so much, Steve. Thank you, everyone.
All right, back with the big story next on 720 WGN. When Paul Manafort does his perp walk into jail, it's a good song for him. Shaking it. Guess who's back again? Pat Brady, dual duties in a previous life prior to being a political guru. He was a federal prosecutor chasing bad guys. Good morning, Mr. Brady. How are you?
Morning, Mr. Cochran. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. It's not a good day to be Paul Manafort.
No, and if you believe the CNN reports, it looks like he's going to get indicted, which is typically what you do in these kind of cases. They tell you it's coming, so a bad day for him.
All right, so let's review. Paul Manafort, according to CNN News, and by the way, it's been confirmed now by other news-gathering organizations, Paul Manafort was wiretapped by the federal government prior to his association with Donald Trump in his election capacity, and after as well, going at least up until early this year. Is that your understanding?
Yeah, there are two warrants. In 2014, I think, in connection with some payments from Lithuania, and then more recently they had a FISA surveillance warrant. So he was being tapped during the campaign, and I know a lot of people on the right will make an issue of that, but that's not like a President Obama can say, hey, go throw a wiretap on that guy. That's not how it works. You have to go to some type of court to get permission, and a judge makes the decision on whether or not enough cause exists to get a warrant. So the president, contrary to what we heard during the election, can't just say, hey, throw a wiretap on that guy. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, and for the internet going nuts last night going, Trump was right, he was wiretapped. No, slow your roll there, Timmy. What happened was Manafort was wiretapped. Now, Manafort had an apartment in Trump Tower, but Trump's specific tweet was related to him. It was irresponsible and has been proven to be not the case by the Jeff Sessions-run Justice Department as recently as September 1st.
Yes, that was much ado about nothing. But the reality is he might be caught on some of these calls. But from what I understand from what I read in the press, which may or may not be accurate, they were shut down because they weren't getting anything out of them.
That was the first one, right? And then they came back for a second one?
Yeah. And who knows? But I suspect that the president might be on some of those. But so what? I mean, people can have phone conversations that aren't necessarily bad. But Manafort's – I think Manafort's in big trouble on this if he's convicted. This is pretty serious stuff.
All right. But let's assume that the president is on these conversations because he has a history of reaching out to the people he's fired after he's fired them. Against his attorney and advisor's direction. And he said himself that he had been in contact with Manafort earlier this year. So if he were talking to him, isn't it possible that if there is some evil going on, that they were discussing it?
Possibly. And we'll find out eventually. And I think the most interesting moment will be if and when Manafort's actually indicted, when the indictment becomes public. So we can actually see what he's being charged with, and then you'll be able to get a better idea whether or not this is something that the president may or may not have been involved in. We're a long way from that, but he might have been on the calls. Politically, it's terrible, and potentially legally might have some exposure. But to me, I'm always on these things, with particularly the president, it's obstruction, and then it is lying to Congress. It gets you in trouble more often than not.
Could Manafort ask for immunity, Pat? And if he does ask and receives it, if he says something illegal, could it be used against him because he's been given immunity?
I mean, okay, here's how it works. You're always asking for immunity because immunity means you can't be charged. But immunity is not unlimited. And I think your question, during the course of the proceedings, if you lie while you're immunized, you're subject to criminal liability. So it's not a get-out-of-jail-free pass for everything. But the point being, if he comes clean, he's got to tell the truth. And what you typically do is you give him clean for a day, and you bring him in, and you do what's called a proffer. They tell you what they know and what they're going to say, and then the prosecutors decide whether or not to give you immunity because you're useful in another case or there's some ends of justice that need to be met by immunizing you. But let's wait and see, because these charges sound maybe almost too serious to give him immunity.
Stand
by. Give immunity to a real serious, super serious stuff, unless you're really going up the food chain.
And by the way, speaking of immunity, Michael Flynn would like you to donate to his legal fund. If you're so inclined, Google search that. He's ready to take your money. At 7:52, more with Pat Brady in a moment. We'll tell you about the Lincoln Forum event with Sheriff Tom Dart coming up in a couple of days. That we hope you'll attend as well. But first, Mary's back with your traffic as drizzle continues to afflict Chicago. 7:57, Dean after 8. Pat Brady's with us. All right, so we'll follow the Paul Manafort story. Are you concerned about the president's speech today at the UN, or do you predict a prompter, steady speech?
I predict a prompter, steady speech because I think he's finally figured out he has no idea what he's doing. when it comes to these global crises. And
I just think you could have ended the sentence after that. He has no idea what he's doing.
I think, and smartly by him, he has a great team around him. And I think General Kelly has kind of whipped him into shape on this. I'm hoping. I hope it's not an America First speech, because that's not the kind of speech you give when the world's listening.
We will carry it live with ABC News about 9:30 this morning, assuming they're running on time. All right, the Lincoln Forum on Thursday night, you do your first one. These are these, you know, you have these public policy things, these rubber chicken dinner circuit things, which are well-intended things, but they can be boring beyond belief. And Pat Brady and Eric Edelstein, a bunch of other folks, got together and said, let's do something that's fun, that's going to educate people, going to fire people up to get involved in the process and fix some problems. So who's your first?
One of the best reformer, greatest reformers in the country, I believe, Cook County Sheriff Tom Dart. He'll be talking about some of the things he's done, and we're going to have a Q&A, so you get a chance to ask him questions. I had him on the show last week. He's a great guy, a good friend, and I think one of the two great leaders in the country right now. And then the following the next one, October 10th, we're giving the mic to you.
Seems like a bad idea.
I got the off switch, believe me.
Okay.
with some of the best political reporters in the country, I think. Marianne Ahern, Channel 5, Craig Wall, Channel 7, our own Rick Pearson, and Mike Flannery. So we're all excited about that panel, too. And then Kennedy in November.
You can get tickets for any and all of those by going where?
LincolnForum.org.
LincolnForum.org, you can get tickets. There's only a couple seats left for the Thursday night event. And then there's tickets for the media thing in October with me, and then the Chris Kennedy to follow. But those will sell out as well. So get your tickets.
Yes, and thank you. And we've got a whole slew of speakers lined up behind that. So we're very excited about it. We've got a great response. And it, the Chicago Athletic Association, if you haven't been there since they've renovated it, it's a spectacular venue. So we're really looking forward to that.
And coming soon, Pat Brady and I have talked about this off the air, but we're going to do a huge push for voter registration for the primaries. Because it's got to be more than just talk.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
Dean Richards joins us live from Channel 9. Good morning, Dean.
Hello there. Good morning.
You know, a lot of people, I know they do the same thing to you. They want to go behind the scenes. How does the magic of the show get created?
Right.
Let me just tell you how the brain works here. So Trump tweets out this morning, big day at the United Nations, many good things, some tricky ones happening.
That's right.
We have a great one, a great team, big speech at 10. By the way, I'd rather be in the path of Hurricane Maria than be at the UN waiting for Trump to speak.
No, you wouldn't.
No, of course I wouldn't.
No, you
But I see it's tricky, and I think, well, maybe it's time to update, the presidential theme. And then I look up the lyrics for Run DMC. It's tricky. And I don't know. I think this could work. I mean, he's a New York guy, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So listen.
Did you check?
Because they don't write them like this anymore. You know what I'm saying? The great writers. In New York, the people talk and try to make us rhyme. They really hawk, but we just walk because we have no time. And in the city, it's a pity because we just can't hide. Tinted windows don't mean nothing. They know who inside. It's tricky to rock a rhyme that's right on time. It's tricky. How great would it be to have Trump walk into that?
Right? Yep. Tricky, tricky, tricky,
come
tricky.
Come on.
You got Merkel and everybody else in the background. And
that's quality.
Trudeau.
Merkel
tricky, tricky,
and
tricky.
Urkel. Yeah. Merkel and Urkel should be there for that.
Did I do that?
Which a lot of people are saying right now.
The president will speak at 9:30. We'll carry it here.
Doesn't he use the Rolling Stones' Start Me Up all the time?
Yes. Yes. And as soon as Keith Richards sobers up, he's going to put an end to that, too.
They've had several cease and desist orders on that. And and I know at his rallies he uses, you can't always get what you want.
Yeah.
Which perplexes me, because that seems like it should be something more upbeat and positive.
It's like the people that use "I will always love you" at a wedding,
right?
It's like, shit. Wait, they're leaving.
Or
they're breaking up.
Or you can't always get what you want.
That doesn't seem. I don't know if a positive message is.
Yeah, you should never use "you can't always get what you want" at a wedding. That's wrong.
The president seems to be a big Stones fan.
Yeah, he's a fan of something. All right, so what's going on with this Kevin Hart situation that the FBI is involved in?
Well, just, you know, for some backstory on it, apparently there was a video made, allegedly, of Kevin cheating on his new wife.
Mm-hmm. This is the pregnant girlfriend?
This is the pregnant wife.
Oh, they're married now.
Yeah,
okay.
She is the new wife.
Okay. I'm with you so far.
And so apparently a video was made. Kevin didn't know that a video was made. And an extortion attempt was made on Kevin.
Were they in full nookie? Is that the video we're talking about?
Allegedly. We are in the the FN, as we say in the trade, the FN mode, full nookie mode, allegedly. But they went to Kevin, said, you know,
this is kind of a hidden camera nookie situation.
apparently, like a candid camera nookie kind of deal. Mm-hmm. We want money, or else we'll release the tape kind of deal. Mm-hmm. So Kevin gets in front of this, if you'll excuse the expression, and it releases a video over the weekend apologizing to his wife and to his little kids that he has, saying, you know, that he's sorry about this whole thing. He's going to deal with this personally, but also trying to completely stop the extortion attempt by revealing it himself.
Kind of the Letterman method.
Kind of like the Letterman method, exactly right. Except now the FBI are involved, trying to get the person who was the alleged extortor.
So he was having a fling with David Letterman?
Apparently. Who could resist that gap-toothed, bearded monster?
Is Kevin going to be okay, Uncle Dean?
Apparently, the wife was seen in public for the first time yesterday. Mm-hmm. She didn't comment, but sources close to the family say that she is 100% behind Kevin. Mm-hmm. She is completely
with a knife
supporting him. The family's, trying to deal with, whatever is involved with.
Well, she's not a celebrity, right?
She is not.
Okay, well, let's leave her alone then.
Yeah, let's leave. Well, I mean, but she is, she is a victim of all this.
Right, but I'm saying if she doesn't want to talk, I hope the people leave her alone.
I do too.
Bad news about Kate Walsh from Grey's Anatomy.
Had a brain tumor.
I had no idea, did you?
I had never heard this. And this happened 2 years ago, where she was starting to show some symptoms, hard to concentrate, terrible headaches, balance was off. In other words, what all of us on this morning show have every single day.
Yeah, that's just symptoms of getting up early.
We call it sleep deprivation in our case. But in this case, all signs that something might have been wrong. She went to the doctor. Turns out that she had a tumor the size of a lemon. In her brain. It was fully removed. It was completely benign. And
wow, that's crazy. And she's okay now?
She's doing okay right now, but that's a big deal.
It's a really big deal.
They take off part of your skull to do surgery. That's not,
not what you want.
That's not minor.
It's not what you want. The rapper Rick Ross has offended the Greek Orthodox Church, which I would think in turn would offend you and Andrea.
Andrea, are you offended?
Should I be?
Wait a minute. You didn't get the Greek Orthodox newsletter?
I did. I go back and forth on this. It really takes a lot to offend me. So I feel like I thought no, but because of my Greek roots, perhaps I should say yes.
Maybe start reading the Opa Journal then and be up to date on this stuff.
I read the Windy City Times.
Opa Gazette.
The Opa Gazette.
Windy City Greek.
The Opa Gazette broke this story. All right. So what did he do?
So he had a new video of a song that's called Santorini, Greece, in which, the lyrics of the song are really not all that important, except to say that there is a lot of vulgarity in this song.
Is it better than the lyrics to It's Tricky?
No.
Okay.
Nothing is better. It's Tricky is Gershwin-like, as far as I'm concerned. This is a little different. Okay. Just to give you how much profanity is in this song, shout out to my editor, Rachel Porrell, here at WGN, who spent about an hour this morning editing out racial slurs and curse words that are in the video, because We didn't want any of that to accidentally get on the air this morning.
So you've got the bleeped version?
We have the bleep. We do have the bleep version of this. But all of this is going on. There's, you know, scantily clad women in bikinis, and he's pouring champagne over certain parts of their bodies. You know, it's kind of like a kind of, you know, racy kind of video like that.
He's completely, he has pants on, but is completely tatted, too.
He has pants on, but he is often shirtless. Mm-hmm. In this, but the
and can I tell you that Rick Ross really needs to do a few more sit-ups before he goes shirtless?
Agreed.
I was going to say that, you know, hey, I give him credit for, you know, he's proud of his body, but anyway, there are these bikini-clad women, and there's champagne is pouring all over them, and some of which was shot in a Greek Orthodox church, an ancient Greek Orthodox church on the island of Santorini. Without permission. They apparently just, you know, shot the video there, didn't ask anybody if it was okay. And the Greek Orthodox officials there are upset about that. They're upset about the content in the video, using their church for the background of all of this. And you don't want to get the Greeks mad. Mm-mm. About something like this.
They'll set
like
your
this.
Cheese on mm-hmm. fire.
They will set your cheese on fire in a minute.
All right,
never dealt with the Greek temper, obviously, Rick Ross.
Now, Andre, remind me about this.
Yeah.
Because much of this is shot at the altar in this church, where women are not even allowed. Right?
That is correct. Women are not allowed. They're allowed in front of the gates of the altar, but not behind.
Right.
And women can't serve, obviously, as priests
so
in the Orthodox
I'm guessing
church.
That a shirtless rapper... dropping N-bombs and F-bombs.
Well, they should be offended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of
course. It's probably not something that the church would, you know, is happy as being used in a video.
Right, so they're not embracing it.
Not embracing it, no.
When we come back, Dean has a list of the celebrities most likely to give you a computer virus. Meanwhile, I'll be going over all the Rick Ross video clips.
Yeah.
Stand
Steve, also, I've just gotten some hot new listings, as you know.
Oh, fantastic.
On my my side job that I have, I am a real estate broker to the stars, and I have some fantastic new listings to tell you about today.
Dino will slip into his Remax Blazer.
Yep.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 9720.
828, back with Dean. All right, so the celebrity websites you go to most likely to infect you with a computer virus. This important list was released this morning. Who's the most dangerous, Dean?
I'm shocked at this. I'm shocked that it would be Avril Lavigne.
Avril Lavigne, the most dangerous celebrity out there.
Place this number one celebrity website where you are most likely to get virus or malware.
I thought it was mostly porn sites that put this stuff out.
That's what I had thought also, but apparently, you know, and certainly an artist, you know, nothing against Avril Lavigne. She certainly is popular, but, you know, I would have thought it would have been like a superstar kind of name.
Well, who's number two?
Number two is Bruno Mars.
Well, there you go.
But number three, Carly Rae Jepsen.
Well, how bizarre.
Isn't that weird?
I mean, if you're going to go ahead and infect a celebrity's website with a virus, you'd think you'd want the most traction.
Zayn Malik is after that, formerly of One Direction, Celine Dion, Calvin Harris.
Yeah, number seven on the list is a roadie for Yakov Smirnoff. I mean, that seems weird.
That seems odd to me.
Yeah.
Bieber's on the list, Sean Diddy Combs, Katy Perry, and then finally at number 10, Beyonce.
Huh.
Steve Cochran, a distant number 14.
I've been creating viruses and right. Just trying to infect.
That's a whole other
actual viruses.
Story.
When you go to Steve's website,
right.
There's a video of
you
him.
You get a head cold.
Right. There's a video of him going.
Don't touch it.
Yeah, so that's a real mess. So those are the ones you need to be aware of. You and your Avril Lavigne clicks are going to get you a computer virus.
That is correct.
All right. Well, this is important news. I feel like we need to do more, but we don't have anything else.
Well, I have a couple of real estate listings.
Oh, I didn't know this was coming. Slip into your blazer, Dean. It's time for Dean, the celebrity real estate guy.
I have my yellow Century 21 blazer because, mm-hmm. as people know, when I'm not busy reporting on the entertainment news, I'm always happy to bring you the very latest in celebrity real estate.
Let me get my wallet out here because it's going to be expensive.
Oh,
what
Steve,
do you have?
I have a honey of a deal to start off here today. I am close personal friends, as you know, with actor and director Mel Gibson.
Yes.
And he has put his Malibu, California home up on the market.
There's no way you are the listing agent for Mel Gibson's
house. I got the
house.
Listing for it. He called me up.
Wow, you two really have made up.
He called me and said, hey, a-hole, if you...
Oh, he's cleaned it up a little.
It's a 5,500-square-foot home.
Right.
So much old-world charm.
Do we have any amenities you can tell me about?
Yeah. It's a five-bedroom, five-and-a-half bath.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a separate guest house to it. It's got a lap pool,
right.
Private sun deck, a smaller pool with a pool house and gym. And I'm not sure what this one is, but it is listed as a crazy room.
Oh, this is... This is where Mel would go when
know.
He just needs to make a horrible phone calls.
When he wants to do interviews with
yes,
people.
Yes.
When he wants to talk to a policeman whose
right.
national origins he doesn't particularly care right. for. I don't,
is
I really,
that also
I don't
known
know.
As the Jew-hating room? Is that the room as well?
It's not listed that way.
Okay.
It is not in the listing that way. So if you'd like to take a look at it, give me a call, and I can set up a showing.
What are we talking about? What's our opening price here?
$17.5
million. $17.5 million. I just counted all the money in my wallet. I'm willing to make you a cash offer right now. Of $105.
Well, Steve, as you know, I'm happy to present any offer. He does have a little bit of a temper, so I don't know 100% if I...
What is his ask?
17.5.
Maybe we could meet in the middle. I'm offering 105. He's at 17.5. Maybe we could meet at $400. Because I can go to the ATM.
I got $6 I'll throw in.
Okay, it's 111.
Happy to present it, but I cannot be responsible for any kind of... reaction that we may get.
Hey, when Mel gets the Cochran offer, does he go back in the crazy room?
I'll be right back. Hang on a second. I got to go to my CR, as we like to call
it. Well, I think he's trying to take steps to control his anger. That's
so,
all.
So we have that today. I also have a list that I have one other one for today.
Okay.
It's a house that looks exactly like the house that Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs lived in.
Mm.
This one is, let me see here. It's in Olalla, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
The family that owned this house were such fans of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Yes.
That they completely recreated the little cottage. Mm-hmm. It looks exactly like, the home itself.
Right.
With a short ceiling? I mean, didn't she duck in that thing all the time?
She did have to duck. It's a little bit inconvenient if you're tall.
Oh, that's
like
marketable.
If you're taller than 5 feet, 5 feet, you might find it a little inconvenient, but it's so charming on the outside.
So this is like the first tiny house.
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're a Disney fan, it's got, it looks very quaint and old school on the outside.
Right.
But inside, 2,800 square feet.
That's a lot.
Of, a beautiful home inside.
Is there a gift shop?
Stone and stucco and hand-carved beams.
If it's Disney theme, there should be a gift shop.
With red apples all over the place.
Right, how much?
$775,000.
I've got $105 I'm willing to offer for the Snow White House.
Again, happy to present the offer.
Andrea is kicking in her six. We're at 111.
Right. Yep.
Okay, Grumpy, I'll let him know.
Yeah, we all get names then, too.
Now Mel's going back to the crazy room because he thought he had a deal with me.
Right. He's like, what'd you give him a-hole, what'd you give him another offer for? We had him on the line.
That's awesome.
That's Dean Richards, and I had another story to tell you, but we're out of time. So I'll save it for tomorrow when Dean returns at this time on this channel. Thanks, buddy.
See you.
And we'll do the big story next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Well, in an increasingly difficult grocery market, right, where you got the big boys fighting, being tough on the hardworking smaller entities, you would think the fine people at Fresh Time Farmers Market would be worried about taking care of themselves. But they are having the third annual golf outing tomorrow to benefit Mission 22, which we'll tell you about in just a second, which is the largest. I mean, you know me and golf. This is the largest golf outing I've ever heard of. They're going to take all four courses at Cog Hill. How many golfers? Hey, grab a microphone, guys. You're going to share that one. Let me introduce first Vice President of Operations at Fresh Time, Dave Bernier. Dave.
Yeah, we'll have 465 golfers tomorrow and about 50 to 60 volunteers on all four courses.
And it's third year.
Third year.
Cannot believe how fast you've grown this.
No, absolutely. In our first year, we had one course. Our second year,
they had three guys. They had a threesome. They couldn't even fill out a foursome.
And now the response from our vendor community, our customers, has been fantastic. And we're going to set a record this year. And what we're going to give back to our vets is going to be fantastic. So we're real excited.
And let me introduce you to some vets. The founder of and president of Mission 22, Magnus Johnson. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
And Magnus, you and who founded this?
Myself and Mr. Kissel, Mike Kissel over there.
Mike Kissel's vice president at Mission 22, and Brad Hubbard, secretary at Mission 22. All of you are vets. Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
And get in close to those microphones, men, if you would. All right, so Magnus, let's start with you. What do you do at Mission 22?
Well, I'm the president and founder. I do a lot of public speaking. I connect with different veterans that need treatment and kind of tell them my story and coax them into getting the treatments that I've undertook.
And what is your story?
Green Beret, three combat tours.
PTSD?
Yep.
Came back in significant need of help and knew it right away?
I had no idea. Yeah, it blew my mind. I thought I'd get out and it'd be easy.
Right.
It kind of snuck up on me, and it took me a little while to realize that I had changed significantly.
And is that the story of most guys dealing with this?
Most guys dealing with PTSD.
Yeah.
It's not the story of everybody, but guys dealing with PTSD, yeah.
And how about you guys?
I'm Mike Kissel, the vice president. I served with Magnus overseas, and you know he got out a little bit before me. And you know we started talking about some of these ideas on how to reconnect to our community, how to focus on some of these things, and not in a negative way. And that's kind of how the short story of how Mission 22 came about. And just people joined up to try to were encouraged by our stories and tried to do what they could do, and
sure.
It's just grown. So
and Brad, does the government do enough for you guys? In other words, I understand the need for Mission 22 because even the well-intended Defense Department maybe isn't allocating the funds in the right places to get this done. It makes you guys even more important.
Not necessarily. I mean, it's open-ended question. I mean, there's a lot of help out there. The VA works for people. It's just if you're open and willing to accept the help out there. And we're just here to get the help now instead of later and having to wait.
It's one of the reasons we wanted to have you guys on is to talk to guys that are out there, family members who are out there who don't know what to do, and let them know that you guys are out there as a resource. So stand by more in a moment. The website for you is what?
Mission22.com.
Mission22.com, and if you're not already involved in the golf outing tomorrow, you can certainly go there anytime, donate, volunteer, and figure out ways to help.
Yes, sir.
Stick around. You got nothing else. You're not going anywhere. Just stick right there. You sit there for a second. It's 8:52. Traffic from Mary on 720 WGN. We are back with some phenomenal people, frankly. Joining us is Vice President of Operations for Fresh Time Farmers Market is Dave Bernier, also Magnus Johnson, Mike Kissel, and Brad Hubbard. All from Mission 22. Before I ask about the ambassador program, Dave, how did you guys get involved? What was the original motivation for it?
You know, honestly, it was our CEO's vision originally, Chris Sherrill, and it's for us. It's the best organization that we could really tie up to as a
sure.
company and get behind. It's our brothers, it's our sisters, our mothers, our fathers.
Everybody knows somebody,
and we honestly couldn't think of any better place for us to support.
Yeah,
and these guys have been fantastic. And along with that, we also are with the Warrior's Heart, who's a fully accredited,
sure.
licensed facility for treatment, which is based out of Texas, and we're actually part of what we donate this week will go to that organization as well.
Magnus, the ambassador program for Mission 22, explain how it works.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people affected by suicide, and you know, there's a mothers, wives, husbands, fathers. There's all these this demographic that hasn't had a voice or don't know what to do or where to go and who to get together with. So we've made an effort to give them a voice, give them a network, and not let it be something that that's just silently happened to them, and get it out into the light and get them organized.
So also Mike or Brad, jump in on this. So if somebody out there is listening and they're struggling right now, or they love somebody that's struggling, what do they need to do?
I would say the first thing is find something. I mean, it can be, you know, go to our website and look at all the things we provide, or, you know, even another organization. You know, if they have something that you identify with, it's, you know, do something and don't give up on that person. Just, you know, keep giving them love and keep believing them and keep, you know, doing what you do.
Anything to add to that, Brett?
Echo what Mike says. Just give them hope. I mean, we're all examples of reaching out.
But take some kind of action, right?
Yeah,
don't just assume it's going to get
well,
better.
And that's the thing. There was a stigma a long time with PTSD, and so that stigma is, you know, that's gone. We're talking about Rangers, Green Berets, Delta Force guys. There's no shame in it. You're not alone. Get motivated. Get involved. Take advantage of resources that are available. If something's not working for you, move on to the one that is. You know, email us directly, and we'll get back with you in the day. And if we can't help you, we'll find somebody that can.
And I think the thing that you went through and that people need to hear, it doesn't make you less of a man. It makes you more of a man.
Well, you know,
to have the courage to step up and do something about it and to feel better.
Well, yeah. I mean, I got responsibilities. I got children. I have a woman that loves me, and it's my responsibility, the best that I can, to make their lives the best that it can be.
Right.
If that requires a little bit of humility to do such, and that's what I'm going to do.
It's an amazing group, and I salute all of you for not just running it every day, but for all the outreach that you do. And again, if you love somebody that's going through this, don't give up on them. You can't fix it for them, but you can certainly help them fix it. And even if it's just putting the website in front of them and saying, take a look, and then we'll take it from there. And thank you guys at Fresh Time. Shop at Fresh Time. Go give Fresh Time your money. These are the people doing the right thing. Plus, your food's good. You know, it's not like it's some operation I can't support. You have some of my money. You know that, don't you?
Like that.
But thank you guys very much. Thank you for all you do. And have fun tomorrow.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you for having us.
I'll be out at Cog Hill. Website one more time for Mission 22.
It's mission22.com.
All right. Nice to see you guys. Back with CLTV joining us next. And the big story in about 30 minutes or so will be preempted today, we believe, by Donald Trump's UN speech. We'll carry it live when the president starts on 720 WGN.